I have a lot of favorites. That's one of them. What a beautiful song. And what a great privilege we have to come and worship the one who shed Amen. His precious blood for us. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13 this morning as we continue our study. Always thankful. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. And it's an amazing thing when you consider all that's going on in the world today and the trials of this life, the tribulations and difficulties that we face. No matter what, we've always got much to be thankful for. This world is not our home. We're just passing through, and our faith is in Christ. And we've got a heavenly kingdom awaiting those who put their faith in Jesus. And so we've got a lot to be thankful for. Please do remember those that were mentioned in prayer and so many difficulties facing people. But again, I just want to remind you today that when you have heaven for your eternal home, then puts everything else in perspective. And we can rejoice no matter what. Today we're going to talk about being thankful, and you might remember a couple of weeks ago we introduced this series with Ephesians 5 and verse 20, which says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to give thanks always, and we want to give thanks always for all things, but it's really important today we understand who we give thanks to. And we're going to talk about some of the things that we ought to be thankful for, but the focus of our thanks is to God. Have you ever thought about how sad Thanksgiving must be for the atheist? I mean, you can be thankful, but who are you thankful to? I mean, you can be thankful for your health, but really you can't always thank science or medicine. Science and medicine can't account for all of the good health that we have, and so who are you going to be thankful to? Listen, I want you to know it's in the Lord Jesus Christ that we live and move and have our being. Every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And today I'm thankful that we can be thankful unto God. Amen. We're not just thankful. And it's just like our faith. We don't just have faith. We have faith in God. We have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have some place to direct our praise. We have to someone to direct our thanksgiving today, and we ought to be thankful for that. Let's stand together if you're able. Hebrews 13. And look at verse 15 with me, if you would, please. By him, therefore, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus today. We thank you that you love us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die in our place on Calvary's cross. We thank you that we have the privilege to come and to sing your praises, to open the Word of God, the bread of life today, and to have you speak to our hearts through your Spirit. I pray today that if there's one among us who's never been born again, that today they would see and understand their need of a Savior, that they would turn away from their sin to you, Lord, that they would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one who died for them and rose again. Lord, help them to see that there is eternal life, a home in heaven forever available to all who come to you by faith in your Son, Jesus. I pray that you'd help me to preach your word by the power of your Spirit. I pray that you'd move among us today, Lord, and give us grateful hearts today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I want to tell you today that we've got a lot to be thankful for. But before we talk about that, can I just let you know that unthankfulness is something that is in the heart of unbelievers? Unthankfulness is for people who aren't saved. Unthankfulness is for people who don't know Jesus. Unthankfulness is for people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, the Word of God says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Just let me stop to say that our atheist friends today are without excuse. God has revealed himself to us through his creation, through our conscience, and God has put it in the heart of every man to know that there's a God in heaven. And every reasonable person knows that the idea that everything in the world happened by some cosmic accident, that's nonsense. It's nonsense. Any reasonable person understands that. The invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Listen, he says even his eternal power and Godhead, to know that there is a triune God in heaven is evident from creation. Verse 21 goes on and says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I want you to understand that unthankfulness is not something that should be found among those who name the name of Jesus Christ. Unthankfulness shouldn't be in our hearts. A heart of ingratitude should not be found among us today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 tells us what it's going to be like in the last days. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Listen, if that's not a depiction of our culture today, friends, we are filled with a nation full of people who are unthankful, who are unholy, who are covetous, who are boasters, who are proud. He goes on. And he says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. In our culture today, we have a war against what's right, and what's true, and what's good. We have society today pushing against the things of God, and there are people who hate those who stand for the truth. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And I want you to look at that. We can look at the world, the people who are without natural affection. People in the world today are promoting unnatural affection. We can see those things in the world today, and we can be pretty harsh about those things, but can I just show you that in the midst of that list of these terrible things that are in our culture today, in these last days, in these perilous times, is unthankfulness. Amen. We ought to be careful that it's not once named among us. Friends, we ought to always be thankful for all things. See, the heart of a believer is one of thankfulness. Look with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Colossians 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Listen, friends, in the church, in this body, in this membership that we have together in Christ, there ought to be thankfulness in our hearts. When we sing, it ought to be with grace in our hearts, thankfulness in our hearts to the Lord. It shouldn't just be going through the motions. You ought to rejoice in who God is and what he's done for you. And that ought to come out in our songs and in our speech and everything that we do. We do it with thanksgiving to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be thankful today for God's provision. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 35, he says, when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. I think it's an amazing thing to consider when Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he gave thanks. Listen, who made the seed from which the wheat grew, that made the flour to make those unleavened cakes that day? Jesus is the one who started it all, who created it all. He made the rain fall to let it grow. He gave it life. He brought forth that fruit, and then he gave thanks for that fruit. Awesome. He grew the vine, which the grapes came. to give forth that fruit and the body to represent his body and his blood, and he gave thanks. I just want to tell you, if the Lord gave thanks, we ought to give thanks. We ought to give thanks for all things. Romans 14 and verse 6 says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Listen, whatever it is, eat, don't eat, give thanks. Whatever you do in all things, we ought to give thanks for God's provision. I think every day you ought to give thanks to God. If you ever heard this, maybe you've heard this and thought about it. What if tomorrow morning when you woke up, the only things you had in this world were the things you gave thanks for yesterday? Whatever you didn't give thanks for today would be gone tomorrow morning. That's a terrifying thought. Listen, I think you ought to give thanks for your food and your clothes. I think you ought to give thanks for a place to live. I think you ought to give thanks for your family and your friends. There's so much that we ought to be thankful for, and we ought to always be thankful for those things. It's so easy for us to get focused on what we don't have, but listen, friends, when you consider what you have, you won't have time to think about what you don't have. I think we ought to be thankful for God's provision. I think we are abundantly blessed here in the United States of America. Some of you this morning are thankful that we have heating. Some of you this morning are thankful we have air conditioning. Some of you are not thankful for those things right now. But I'm going to tell you, we are extremely blessed. Amen. Not just provision, but we ought to be thankful for the people that God has put in our lives. We ought to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Acts chapter 28, verse 15, the Word of God records, from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii, Forum, and the Three Taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Paul was on his way to Rome, where he would eventually be beheaded for the name of Christ. And when he was on his way, the brethren heard he was coming through, and they came to meet him. When he saw the brethren, he thanked God. We ought to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And it's a joy. When you come up to the church building every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you ought to give thanks for the brethren that are here. I mean, when you're sitting in here and you see somebody come in the door, there ought to be joy in your heart for our brothers and sisters. It thrills my soul for the brethren that we have, and we give thanks for one another. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And when you think about one another, you ought to be thankful. Listen, let's be honest for a second. Have you ever been annoyed by somebody in the church? Just, would you be honest enough to raise your hand? Yeah. Some of you, I'm annoyed by you right now, right? See, I know. It's a two-way street, I promise. Listen, we get annoyed by each other, and sometimes we get so focused on some little idiosyncrasy, some little thing that bothers us, or some attitude, or we hold on to something that was said or done, or a look that we got 15 or 20 years ago. Friends, that's nonsense. Amen. We ought to rejoice for the fellowship that we have in the gospel. Listen, we come from all different walks of life, all different places, all different ages, all different cultural backgrounds, whatever the case may be. None of that matters, because we have fellowship in the gospel. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm glad we're not all the same. I thank God that you're not all like me. I get on my own nerves. And I imagine that we can name a few names that we're all thankful and we're not all like today. I'm trying not to look at anybody in particular. Brother Brian keeps expecting me to call him out right now, but I'm not going to do that. We have fellowship in the gospel. Thank God for each other. Amen. It thrills my soul to see every one of you here today. that we get to come together and worship the Lord. And I think it's sad sometimes that we get so distracted by so many other things. Friends, this is precious, to come together around the name of Christ, to rejoice together in the gospel of Christ, to sing his praises, to look into his word, to grow thereby together. We are incredibly blessed today. We ought to be thankful for the people of God and their faith in Christ, Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. We ought to be thankful that there are people who were at one time the servants of sin, but now through faith are the servants of God. Amen. Romans 1:8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, for our faith, for our love for one another. 2 Corinthians 8:16, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. There were those in the churches in that day that had a heart for one another. And thank God for people in the church who have a heart for one another. You're thankful for the generosity. 2 Corinthians 9:11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. The churches were giving, and because they were giving to meet the needs of others, those people gave glory to God. We ought to give thanks for people's generosity. A lot of you may not know, it was a Wednesday night. We had some young people on our van that their family had a need. And I asked the church to give a love offering. The family had a need, and it was $300. And just on the spur of the moment, asked the church to give. We don't have very many in our Wednesday night class, and we took up $365 to help that family. Amen. I thank God for that generosity. I thank God for the generosity of God's people to give to missions and to give to the work of the local church and that heart. Thank God for the work and labor and patience of God's people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2 says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He said, I'm so thankful for your work, for your labor, for your endurance in the work. We got to thank God for the fruit that he gives us by his grace. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Amen. To see people growing in the fruit of the Spirit. I've been privileged to be the pastor here for a little over 5 years, 5.5 years, and I have seen spiritual fruit in people's lives, and it's a thrill. Listen, to hear about those two young people that were saved this Wednesday, you have no idea what joy that gives me as a pastor. Amen. Not just as a saved person rejoicing that someone else has come to Christ, but to know that people in our church are diligently proclaiming the gospel and people are coming to Christ. Glory to God for that fruit and that work that God is doing. Thank the Lord for his grace. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4 says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand today, we're here today because of the grace of God. Amen. If you're going to heaven one day, it's because of the grace of God. If you can live and move and exist today, it's because of the grace of God. We give thanks to God for all things always. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We had to come before his presence with thanksgiving. Come before his throne with praise. And we have a lot to be thankful for. His provision, for his people, all of those things. But I want to tell you today that really we must be thankful for the person of Jesus Christ. All of the provision of God. comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no people of God to be thankful for if it weren't for Christ. I couldn't be thankful for your faith if it wasn't for Jesus. I couldn't be thankful for your love if it wasn't for Jesus. I couldn't be thankful for the grace if it wasn't for Jesus. See, it all comes back to Him. It's all Him. We have victory in Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 verses 55 through 58. And you know, most of us grew up, how many of you know the song Victory in Jesus?
Amen.
You know that song? That's a great song, but the verses it comes from are even better.
Amen.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Who we are and what we do only matters because of Jesus Christ. And we have victory over death today. I want to tell you some good news, friends. You can have victory over death through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some of you have been saved as long as I've been alive, and some of you haven't been saved very long at all, and maybe someone here today isn't saved yet. Still, I want to tell you today that victory over death is available to you today.
Amen.
You can have life and life everlasting today. You need to understand today without Christ that death does abide on you. You are condemned already in your unbelief. But if you would turn from your sin to God, you'd put your faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, He died for you. He suffered for you. He paid the price that you owe to give you a way to have eternal life.
Amen.
The blood of Christ can be applied to your account if you'll come to Him in repentance and faith. Cry out to Him and ask Him to be your Savior. One of the young ladies that was saved, Wednesday night in counseling with her, one of our teachers had this conversation with her because she understood that she was a sinner. She was broken for her sin. That's a good place to be, by the way. I'd be broken for our sin. And she understood, she believed that Jesus died for her and rose again, that He could save her. And she was asked the question, listen, if you were drowning in a swimming pool and somebody was walking by, there was a lifeguard, what would you do? She said, well, I'd cry out for help. I would scream and say, help me. I want to ask you this today. If you know today that you're lost, you know today you're on your way to hell, why wouldn't you cry out to Jesus?
Amen.
You're in much worse shape than somebody who's drowning in a swimming pool.
Amen.
That's a terrible place to be, but I want to tell you, if you are here today without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you face something far worse than drowning in a swimming pool. You face eternity in the lake of fire.
Amen.
But there is a Savior. And He loves you. And He gave everything for you. And if you'll cry out to Him in faith today, He will save you and He'll give you everlasting life. What a Savior. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Man, the joy of knowing Him and the victory, the triumph that we have in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It really is an unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I want to tell you today, we've got a lot to be thankful for, but our thankfulness has to be to God. You know, ultimately, we have to be thankful to God, for God. We're thankful to God. For God. What are we without God? Where would we be today if He had not revealed Himself to us through His Word? Where would we be today if He hadn't called us to Himself by being lifted up on the cross? Where would we be today if the Spirit of God had not convicted us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come? I want to tell you today, friends, you ought to be thankful for who God is and for what He's done. Would you look in your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 42? Isaiah chapter 42, find verse 5. I want to tell you today, I believe Just as a little bit of a side note, it goes with this passage, but I believe in the sanctity of human life. You believe in the sanctity of human life? I believe that all human life is precious. We live in a world today that values the lives of trees and beetles more than the lives of human beings.
Amen.
There's something wrong with our society today.
Amen.
Life is precious, but I want to tell you why human life is more precious than all other life. Because people are made in the image of God.
Amen.
And when God had made all other life, the last thing He made was man. And God breathed into man, Adam, that first man, Adam. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Amen.
See, God did something different with mankind. He created him in His image. He put His spirit in him. You're more than an animal. People may not always act like they're more than animals. They certainly don't always smell like they're more than animals. But you're more than an animal.
Amen.
Your life has value because you were made in the image of God. Not only did He create us, but He loves us enough that He died for us. And not only did He save those who put their faith in Him, but He keeps those who put their faith in Him. He's Creator. He's Savior. And He's Sustainer. It's who He is, and it's what He's done for us. And we ought to be thankful unto God today. Look here at Isaiah 42 and verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images.
Amen.
Thank God today for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things, the one in whom only the one who should have all preeminence. He created us, He saves us, and He keeps us. And it's all by His grace and His love.
Amen.
Can I just remind you this morning that He gave Himself for you? Galatians 1, 3 through 5, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. That, or in order that, He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins. Would you take just a second to think about your past sins? I mean, you can think about your sin nature, how it's in you. We're coming to the end of a year. Maybe you just think about the things that you've thought and done against the will of God this year. Maybe you'd think today about the things that God's called you to do that you haven't done. I think it's important for us to consider our sins because we need to be reminded that Christ gave Himself for our sins.
Amen.
I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it in your heart today and remember that Christ gave Himself. And by His grace, He can deliver us when we come to Him in faith. So how do we give thanks? Can I invite you back to Hebrews 13 and verse 15? Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By Him, by Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But I want you to look on at verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. See, we ought to give thanks to God by our lips. We ought to give thanks. We ought to tell God we're thankful. We ought to tell others how good the Lord's been. We ought to have praise to God on our lips at all times. Thanks be to God. We ought to sing songs that glorify Him. When we talk to somebody, we ought to let them know how good the Lord is.
Amen.
But it's not just our lips. It's our lives. To do good and to communicate, forget not. What's that have to do with it? It means how we live our lives. Doing good and helping those in need. See, we live a life of thanksgiving by doing good in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have a life of praise and a life of purpose. With our lips and with grateful lives, we give thanks to God. This morning, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. I want to invite you to stand with me, please. I want to share with you one more passage of Scripture before we sing this song. And I want to plead with you today. If you're not 100% sure that you're headed to heaven when this life is over, I want to plead with you today that you would turn from your sin to God and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the families of the communities around us. Just in the last couple of weeks, we saw Coach Potts, 46 years old, pass into eternity. Sam McElhaney from Vian, 45 years old, passing to eternity. Listen, friends, you don't know when your last day is going to be. And I don't care if you're 12 years old or 82 years old or anywhere in between. You need to be absolutely sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." If you've never been born again, I plead with you to trust in Christ today. Call on his name and he will save you if you come to him in genuine faith. If you've been saved, you need to follow him in baptism and serve him in the local church. You need to dedicate your life to live for him. Maybe you just need to ask him to forgive you for not being thankful. Whatever it is, if the Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart today, I plead with you to come while we sing.
Page 541.